This is Triple M's Rush Hour with JB, Billy and special guest host Dave Hughes. Don't miss a massive 30% off the entire Best Sheds range. Inquire now at bestsheds.com.au.
Assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Dave Hughes.
Is this moron number one?
Well, are we ready to go?
Put moron number two on the phone.
Just waiting for a potato cake to fry.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
I feel good.
Of course you feel good. The sun's shining. You're listening to the best radio show. And they're a big guest. Laura Kane coming in. GM of the AFL.
Superstar.
She is a superstar. She's a ripper. Can't wait to speak to her. We've got Jay-Z Clark not far away. Hump Day quiz, of course, because it's Wednesday. Guernsey Cash, there's 10 grand attached to that. And then, later in the show, I had forgotten about... Well, I say forgotten about this, Rads. I didn't even know it happened because it was when Daisy was on the show with Bill. And Todd from Bowen Heads rang in around the Commonwealth Games time. Mm-hmm. So that's coming up a little later on as well. Hello, Husey.
Hey, it's great to be here, mate. Can I give another shout-out to my cousin? Remember yesterday I shouted out my cousin? I said he lives in Thailand.
Yes.
And he's hooked on the Rush Hour. He's surrounded by the most beautiful scenery in the world, but he's got to spend a couple of hours every day listening to you and Billy generally. And anyway, he heard that yesterday.
Texted
me from Thailand. Just said, just listen to the podcast. Thanks for the shout-out, funny. I was on computer listening and just left a cafe surrounded by beautiful Russian women. You were spot on. Surrounded by beautiful Russian women at Thailand, and we'd rather listen to you.
That's it. That's good. Crazy. What's his name?
Joe Leithhead. Well, good footballer in the day. Coached a premiership with the Imperials in Mildura. Yeah,
nice.
He was a good player.
Good to have you on board, Joey. Mm. Hello, Rabs.
We're going to have a few beers of what's telling. He's reading the Thesaurus.
Oh, no.
Or the Thor, what do you call that book?
Don't say a word.
The book, like the dictionary.
Don't say anything, rabbits.
No, he was reading the dictionary, Jim.
Not the Roger's.
Thoris.
Thoris. Just dropped the front of it off.
I know.
Just went with Thoris.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Thoris. People who don't know what it's about.
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
We're getting wrapped up here with the rappy.
It's the All Sports Report. It's Tyre Power's Mega May Sale. Buy three, get one free on Falcon Wild Peak all-terrain tyres at Tyre Power.
Jay-Z can handle the footy next. Yeah,
footy coming in.
Yeah, but let's start with cricket. Jake Fraser-McGurk, who we're all... I know Billy was big on this, and I think we all are, should be playing in the Australian team for the...
I can't believe he's not even in the squad.
Yeah, he's hit another half-century in the IPL. His half-ton man here now has the most 50s and less than 20 balls with three.
Yep.
And he's only played seven games.
And the Delhi Capitals have jumped up into the five, which is big for punter. So he's driving that team, no doubt about that.
That's a lot of money made in that IPL, isn't there?
Lots. Just
in your day, would have you been a chance at all?
No, because I wasn't really a white ball cricketer. His price will go skyrocketing.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he was in the...
No, he wasn't in the initial auction.
Yeah, so I reckon next year he will go into the auction full and he will name his own price.
So is he on minimum chips, is he? What is the minimum?
Still not bad money.
Still good money, but next year, Husey, he will explode at the auction.
Yeah, good.
We'll get Joey to look up how much he's on.
All right, great. NBA, I want to get involved there. It's the playoffs. It's our man Josh Giddey, the Melbourne boy who he's the number one player for, I think, Australian basketball right now. His OKC Thunder beat Dallas easily in game one of the semi-final playoff series. Josh Green, another Aussie, played well for Dallas. But I watched today, and they didn't pass the ball to Josh enough, honestly.
Wouldn't you?
Why are you passing it to him? He's there in the corner, and he's go somewhere else. He's only got 2 points. It was disappointing.
2 points?
2 points.
What the hell?
He was on for 16 minutes.
Oh, he's a pass-first guard, though. He's not really a shooter.
But he can shoot. Mm. But he misses one or two, and they just stop passing him the ball. I don't know if he yells out for it enough. I want to text him and go, mate, yell out for it more.
Get your voice up.
Just get it up there so that we can... I treat him like he's my son.
I don't know. You are passionate about him. I can see that.
Dante Exum also played in that game as well for Dallas.
He did. Mm. I don't know how Dante went. I don't know if he went. Dante's going well. The Aussies are going to go great at the Olympics. Mm-hmm. No doubt about that. Nice. So we're into it.
All right. Good. I like that. Jay-Z, I can see out there. He hasn't left anything behind yet, but he will.
He will.
By the time he leaves, there'll be three or four of his personal items that Zoe will have to collect up and send over to him. Jay-Z Clark next.
Hey, Jake Fraser-McGurk's playing for $92,000.
Wow.
So not bad for a couple of weeks' work. Yeah, for
not worry. $2 million. Some
for
of
the Rooster.
Three bricks next year.
Triple M's Rush Hour welcomes special guest host Dave Hughes.
I'm wearing pants, which is, obviously I'm overdressed for this.
Wow.
You guys are so relaxed.
Follow the show on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok and X at Triple M Rush Hour.
James Brayshaw, Dave Hughes and the chat, all things footy, the best in the business, Jay-Z Clarkson studio.
If it's happening in footy,
one of the biggest stories of the season has just dropped.
This man will be all over it.
Have a go at Jay-Z. He's everywhere.
I know, he knows everything.
On Triple M's Rush Hour.
How are you, mate? You big bowling ball? You good?
It's Jay-Z Clark.
Now, Jay-Z.
Yes?
I was driving up from the peninsula Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got the Triple M footy on, 12 o'clock.
Sunday rub.
Sunday rub.
Uh-oh.
And out comes Jay-Z in charge and explodes the first segment. Just it's just flying around everywhere.
Too loud?
So I'm like, he's got it off to a very crisp start.
Too fast?
Got everyone involved? No, I liked it.
Okay.
So then the ad break came along, so I turned it down, obviously, and then I'm in the car.
You don't turn the ad breaks down, mate. You turn them up.
Down.
We've got sponsors here.
Down they go. And then we're coming out of the first ad break, so back up I go.
Yes.
What's happened to Jay-Z?
Well, I got
demoted.
I got resold by Brownie. Well, because he prioritises the Sunday footy show, as Rabs here knows, I got a sort of lead operations in the first segment, and then he comes and takes over in
the lemonade
second
segment.
And then he pots me too about how crappy the first segment is too. So that's always a bit of a blow to the confidence.
Why and you don't have a mic to fire back, or you do, or you feel a bit sort of reluctant?
Well,
you know?
Well, Joey did sort of say last week was the best first segment of the year. So
it was.
That was no, it was a very crisp segment.
Brownie's a self-appointed captain, so we all just take a step back.
So he just pushes you out.
It's sort of a bit like James McDonald at Melbourne. When he was the captain, and then they'd sort of turfed him.
Right.
I feel like it's a McDonald's sort of situation.
Well, it was a very nice start. Now, the Blues,
thank you. Yes.
We might as well start there because no one more passionate than Hughesy about his Blues.
And it's great to see Hughesy because I've heard the ratings since you've come have doubled.
Well, that's just hearsay. It's anecdotal.
You know, I've got the data. I've checked the podcast ratings. The last time I saw you, Hughesy, we were at a function in the city there, and it was sort of like mid-Brendan Bolton era. And you were a broken man. You were a shattered man about the Blues. I think Bryce Gibbs was about to be traded.
Yeah.
And you just wanted some hope. So you'd be happier now that the Blues are up and about.
Once I stopped blaming individuals at Carlton, and you realised that it was a whole club thing. So once I gave up the hatred of people.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, and I'd like to apologise to Bolt. So I'd like to apologise to Dennis Pagan, Mick Malthouse, Rats, all the coaches. Well, it was no one's fault individually, but now we are back.
And it's a massive game. You've lost two on the trot, however. You need to lift to avoid a third straight defeat against the much improved Melbourne Football Club. This is going to be a humdinger at the home of footy, the MCG, tomorrow night. And some changes, Hughesy, because I think you're going to get Mitch McGovern back and potentially Jack Martin as well, who bolsters that forward half. I'm not certain that Mark Pittenay still holds his spot in the ruck, but potentially with McGovern and Martin back, that certainly does bolster the side.
Can I say you, Martin Pakula, former government minister, who now has always been a full-time, he's given me the changes. He said, O'Hollands, McGovern, Martin and Kemper in.
Yep.
And this is from him. I don't know whether I should say this publicly, but anyway, whatever. He said, Cunningham, Williams, Fantasia and Young are out.
Okay.
So when does that get announced? It'd be tonight, wouldn't it?
Tonight. I feel like that's on the money. Martin's in the know there.
Martin knows what he's doing.
That lines up with my own information as well. So Lewis has been a bit up and down in the back half.
Yeah, he has. Kemp has been unlucky to be dropped a couple of times. I really like Kemp.
Yep.
But, they obviously... Rossi's not sold on him.
And a spotlight too on Wietering, whose form has just softened a little bit. Expect him to sign a new deal at Carlton.
Well, you know what, with that game, I said to Isaac Smith when he came into the Saturday rub that for whatever reason I like Melbourne against Geelong, I think that's a good matchup for Melbourne. I like Carlton against Melbourne.
What are you basing that on?
I think this is a decent matchup for the Blues.
This feels
I
like
think what
this
they
is a
do,
gut feel.
I think what they do well can really challenge Melbourne. So they will come into this game thinking this is winnable.
And they've got an extra day break, the Blues. So the D's coming off a five-day break. It's been a light week on the track for them. They get Jake Bowie in, the premiership defender, of course. Simon Goodwin saying, you know, I think it's part of the AFL these days. You have the short break, you've just got to bowl up. It'd be interesting to see how Max Gawn goes. He's carried a huge load throughout the first part of this season without really recognised backup. So that will be huge right, for
dogs,
him.
Dogs, sea baths?
Well, they've circled up. They've begun the soul searching. And this this always happens to the most underperforming team a couple of months into the season. So they went off site yesterday, went down to St Kilda sea baths, had a bit of a kick around in the oval there. All the coaches got together, the players got together and had a bit of a discussion as you do. I'm not sure if you're ever out of form on the comedy circuit. Do you get the comedians get together here and sort of talk about what you could improve and that sort of stuff?
Not really. No.
He goes to the security guards at his venues, and that's where he gets his feedback.
Yeah, I had a security guard tell me it wasn't funny. That was poor. Poor from that guy. I think he found somewhere else to work, which is good. But does Bevo need to relax a bit? Does Bevo always look like he's too serious?
And that's the thing. So at the Western Bulldogs, there has definitely been a tension and a friction inside this football club. That is absolutely unequivocal. The club said at the end of last year, moving Chris Grant aside, and he wasn't seeing eye to eye with the coach, it seems they brought in Matty Egan to try and improve that atmosphere and environment, but they're not playing like it. They're playing on the field, Jim, and you watch it as closely as anyone, like a side who feels under pressure, know they're under pressure, and particularly with key players still outside the 22, the selection certainly has been interesting. They play Richmond, who we saw beat Sydney at the MCG earlier in the season, so they know that's going to be a tough game. And if they can't get up, you just know that the Western Bulldogs on Monday.
But they're likely to, though. This is the thing. They're likely to have a 10-goal win. And what I would say to Bevo, who, and I'm on record as saying I really like him, what I would say to him is, are you any wiser after that 10-goal win than you are now as to what you're going to get?
Well, have you ever seen a team in football whose best, who's the bigger gap between their best and their worst?
You could argue that. Because their best is bloody good.
The fluctuation is enormous.
Now, Jay-Z, let me talk about this. The games again this round are rippers.
You love them?
So Carlton, Melbourne, we've spoken about beauty. Mm-hmm. Geelong and Port are second v. seventh. And then the Dockers and Sydney, that's 6 v. 1st. And then you've got the Essendon Giants, 5 v. 3rd. So it's just another cracking round of footy.
It's because there's very few poor teams this year. I mean, North are the ones struggling and Richmond because of injury. But apart from those two, right at the moment, everyone else is really hard to beat.
Yeah. Well, North have been holding up the ladder for about 8 years, Jim. So it'd be nice if they improved.
I've said to him publicly, he's going to be removed. He can ply his trade in Castle Maine the FM station is up there.
Which coach?
See how many people give us stuff about your bloody opinions.
Which coach would get the most money? Would it be Clarko?
1.5, I think.
Yeah.
So he's taking all the cash. Poor assistants are on.
The quality of the assistants is high, which means that is bull. And we're going to take a little break and try and straighten Jay-Z back up. He's got ahead of himself.
Triple M's Rush Hour welcomes special guest host and Carlton tragic, Dave Hughes.
What is your favourite memory?
95, mate. You were there.
It's gone straight to 95.
For more memorable Rush Hour moments, download the Listener app to hear us wherever you are and whenever you want.
This is Triple M's Rush Hour. JB and Hughesy and Jay-Z stuck around.
Now, Hughesy, what you need to know about Jay-Z Clark is that he says all the stuff he says about North Melbourne until Clarko's in front of him.
Yeah.
And then it's, what a legend. Oh, four-time premiership coach. Oh, superstar. Oh, things are going all right under you. Look at him. You go to water. It's actually pathetic.
I saw him at the season launch and shook his hand.
Oh, of course
you did. And I said, stay out of the news, Clarko.
Oh, yeah, of course you did. Now, Damari Ugalhagen.
Yes, massive news. So he signed a two-year deal. This has been in the pipeline for some time. It's best part of $1 million. Over the next two seasons each. So interesting that he's only committed for the two. Mm. We've seen a lot of players of his calibre commit for 6, 7, 8. I think Aaron Norton was in excess 8 or 9 year deal. So I sort of feel like he's getting
Bob
the big bucks, but he's also having a Bob each way. And to be honest, with the Bulldogs and the situation they're in, I actually think that's probably not a bad call, to be honest. I mean, you look at their list broadly. You look at Bailey Smith. He's definitely gone.
Can I say Bailey Smith jogs on an oval right near my house? So he was sprinting yesterday up and down the oval. So, yeah.
you know, isn't this fascinating, right? Why isn't he doing that? And we talked about this last week. Why in the heck is he not doing that at Witten Oval?
Yeah, I didn't think of it.
Do you not find that strange?
Well, I do now that you've thought about it.
Why is he training? Why does he do so much of his training offside?
That's weird.
It is weird.
Yeah, because you think that all the facilities and, you know, the physios and all that.
They've spent...
long way from Bayside to the Witten Oval. Oh. Probably just thinks I'll just stay local.
When was the last time you crossed the Westgate Bridge?
Oh, he's got to do it on Friday.
He's got to do it on Friday. Don't bring up the walk.
So all right, quickly, Bailey Smith, I think, has gone. Rory Lobb, I don't think he'll be at the club next year. I reckon Caleb Daniel will be gone. Keep an eye on Port Adelaide and Melbourne there. And also Jack McRae, whether Melbourne have a bite of that apple, I'm not sure. But I think there'll be significant turnover on the Western Bulldogs list. And to be honest, if they don't win this weekend, I think the pressure's seriously going to ramp up on the coach, obviously.
Geelong, Tommy Hawkins, big milestone game for him, of course.
Yes, so...
we've just released the state budget.
What did you think of it?
$26 million a day required just to service debt. That's how badly we're going.
That's not good, is it?
So in the face of that, in the face of the worst fiscal management of a state's finances in the history of Australian politics, tell me, Jay-Z,
yes,
that they haven't found $4 million to hand Geelong to do something else to that bloody stadium.
I think they've set aside, as you say, about $4 million bucks to do up the scoreboard. Oh, down there.
Yeah, but mate... they've got the Commonwealth Games coming up, don't they?
They are. Stephen Hawking is a magician.
Yes.
How do you wrinkle $4 million out of this state government?
And Brian Cook before him. Now, yes. I think when you add it all up, it's something, it's an extraordinary number. But it is a beautiful venue down there, and you'll be headed down there this weekend. So it is just, and the numbers have been good. The crowd numbers have been good.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Capacity, 40,000.
We joke about Geelong.
Yes.
It is a fantastic footy venue. All right, Richmond, Kelty LaFau.
Yeah, so he's been the silver lining. I mean, I know the Tigers are second last on the ladder. They beat Sydney earlier in the year. I think, you know, they got done by 50 points by Fremantle at the weekend, Adam Uzo, but they have had a reasonable level of competitiveness considering the massive injury toll they've had. Bolter comes back. I think Prestia comes back this weekend. Still missing Tom Lynch. But Mekelty LaFau is one of the best bang for buck players. Someone who's a rookie.
He's soaked up Alex Pearce, who is all Australian as we speak.
And he's on minimum chips, $80,000 a year. Yep. So the Tigers are in talks with him, going to ramp that up. I think a multi-year deal in the works. This is a guy who was playing for like St Kilda East.
Yeah. St Kilda City.
St Kilda City.
Yeah, that's it. Kicked 29 goals in a game.
We had him in recently. He's a ripper. He's an absolute ripper.
That's my oval.
He's taller than you think. He's 195.
He was playing for St Kilda City.
Yes.
Goodness.
On the Storm's books. No, it's one of the great stories. I'm with you. I love it.
Dane Swan played for St Kilda City.
Did he? You know, Aaron Edwards.
Aaron Edwards. I'd see him all the time.
Is there a theme here?
Brendan Favola played for a while.
That's helping your theme. All right, mid-season trade.
Yeah, so I'm not sure. We've been pumping this up a lot over the past 18 months. After recent talks with club list bosses and list chiefs about a month ago, I think it could actually be dead in the water,
really?
To be honest. So I think there's some chance in mid-season trade period they could still swap pick for picks, but clubs are saying it is very difficult to do the player-for-player trading mid-season, and particularly with all the northern state clubs and interstate clubs saying, well, it's obviously going to favour the Victorian clubs, because how do you get Dave Hughes with his three kids, who's a 28-year-old ruckman, to just pull his kids out of school mid-year and head north up to Brisbane?
They can stay in school. I'll just go. Come on, I'll ring them. There's FaceTime.
They don't have any issue in the States. You can go from the Yankees to the Royals and you just got to pick up and move. Why are we any different?
Yeah, but they get paid
$7 million.
A lot more money. $20 million a season. So the clubs are actually fearful the whole thing might fall over, in particular the mid-season draft coming up.
Well, Hughesy is worried about the state of WA.
I am. I was shocked, I heard. I think you might have said it the other day. What's going on with their draft this year? Is there a chance there's going to be no?
Well, stocks are running a little bit thin, it's fair to say, in the under 18. So I think club recruiters are actually taking out the western part of Australia out of their recruiting budget so they don't have to fly that way because there's not much to watch. So even
Fremantle and West Coast Eagles may not draft any homegrown players at the end of the year.
Well, they're not any real good ones, it seems. So, they're just, but there's
what's happened to the great state that's produced so many champions?
I played over there.
I don't know what the hell's going on.
As he points to himself,
I played over there in 1993 and 4, and I couldn't get out of H grade. So, I mean, there was so many good players back then. H grade was as good as I could get. So
they have a H grade comp.
They did. Mm. They were, yeah. And I was, I lost a tooth in H grade. When you lose a tooth in H grade and there's no trainers to help you look for the tooth on the ground, you're on the dole at the time, front tooth missing, your prospects aren't bright.
What about H grade? Do they have that as well?
His allocution over here.
anything else, Jason?
Yeah, the mid-season draft period's a couple of weeks away. The club's saying that it's not particularly super deep in terms of its talent either. So Brisbane, after its recent injuries, now have four picks. And they're fair to say they're in overdrive, scrambling, trying to find four players. So shocking news with the injuries, McCarthy and Darcy. McCarthy looks to sign a new one-year deal, but they are busy trying to top up their list. That's a few weeks away. Collingwood's Jack Hutchinson, who you know, Rabsy, seen him take a couple of hangers in the VFL. Looks like one of the top picks in that.
All right then, Jay-Z. Nice to see you. Mm.
Thank you for having me.
Let's see if you can hang on to that hosting a little longer than one segment on a Sunday.
I'll try, mate. See what Brownie thinks.
He's part of the Thursday rub as well. Tomorrow night ahead of Carlton versus Melbourne. You can hear that from 6 p.m.
Triple M's Rush Hour welcomes comedy superstar and the very famous Dave Hughes.
Had a couple of people recognise me. I should take a photo if you like.
See Hughesy and JB for yourself by following Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram.
Hump Day Quiz. Huey, this is your first time running it.
I'm a little bit nervous.
You're the quiz master.
Yeah.
Well, you would have done quiz shows before.
I have. I've never hosted a quiz show. If you get a quiz show right, mate, you can have a job for 30 years, you know.
Of course. Well, that might be the next step for you. Now that you've given Mars Singer the answer. That's your next thing.
This is my audition.
I like this. Ooh. All right. So 133353, ring us now, but you've got to be up and about. There's no, we don't need any two sort of supporters of any club or anything?
No. Right. The prize is awesome, by the way. It's a $200 Crown voucher, thanks to Fidel's, Crown's newest Cuban-inspired bar and restaurant.
Beautiful.
Magnificent.
133353, you want to be a part of the Hump Day Quiz, ring us now, but you've got to be excited. You've got to be up and about. You've got to be really ready to take it to the opponent.
And, Husey, don't be worried about the hosting of the quiz, because this is what Bill can bring to it.
It's too all. It's a ring-a-ding, ding, 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 ding.
Yep, the drums are rolling, Bill.
No, but you've got to stop, question, don't they? What the fur of what animal?
Oh, no.
The fur of what animal?
Oh, my God. He's missed that goal. That's
you have to be very bad. And I don't think that's possible.
I'm much more relaxed.
Billy Brownless has gone AWOL.
I nearly had enough.
Oh, no.
Don't worry, we have too.
So we've brought in a comedy icon to replace him.
It's great to be with you two legends.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB, Billy and Dave Hughes. Live from the studios of Triple M Melbourne, it's the Rush Hour's Hump Day Quiz. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Dave Hughes.
Here we go. I'm going to introduce the guests and then you're going to get stuck in as the quiz master. Bryce is there in Smith's Gully. Bryce.
Hey, who's the JV? What's going on?
Where the hell's Smith's Gully?
Out past Hurstbridge, northeast.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I'd never heard of it. So.
Me either. Essendon fan?
Yeah, the Bombers, mate, up and about.
No, he's fired right up, isn't he?
And what do you do for a living, Bryslet?
Chippy.
Oh, so you're busy.
Yeah, flat out, mate.
You got a wallet full of cash, have you, mate? Or not?
Oh, I wish.
Even chippies aren't getting cash. What do we become?
No, we're a tap chippies. We've become a tap society. Make sure you're watching Talking Footy tonight, Brycey. Brad Scott, our special guest. All right, Jaden Lilydale. Hello, Jado.
How are we, boys?
Great. You a chippy as well?
I am a chippy as well.
Are you getting cash?
No, not as much as the plumbers and sparkies.
Oh, why do they get the cash?
Oh, don't know, mate.
Robbo? Not here. All right, and who do you support, please, Jaden?
Saints, mate.
All right, so you're happy, not happy? Where are you at with them?
In between, I think.
But you've got an easy draw from now, so the Saints have every chance to get back even on the ledger, I would say.
And we love Ross the Boss. We're pumped with him. So, all right, now, Husey, take over. Five questions. You need to scream out your name when you know the answer, and I am in control of who I hear first. All right, here we go.
Here we go. Question one. Which team is currently sitting on top of the AFL ladder?
Bryce. Jaden.
Bryce Lett.
Sydney.
Sydney Swans is correct.
He's off and running. Come on, Jaden. Let's go. Name the Giant playing his 300th game this weekend.
Bryce.
Come on. Yep.
Cazilli, no?
No.
No. So, Jaden.
I don't know who that is.
You got a,
Coniglio.
You got a free hit. I'll give you a clue. He played for the Western Bulldogs prior to the Giants.
He's on our show yesterday.
Yeah, it was yesterday. Mm. Come on.
Oh, shit.
Goes by the nickname Cement Head, although I'm not sure he likes it.
Nah, shit out of luck, boys.
Oh, really?
Righto, 1-0.
Cal Ward.
Cal Ward, the legend.
Cal Ward.
All one right. of our favourites.
Let's go off footy for a second. Right. Which famous playwright wrote Romeo and Juliet, Macbeth and Hamlet?
Jaden.
Yes, Jaden?
Shakespeare.
Oh, a man of letters. I like it. All right, 1-1.
We're 1-1.
Good.
All right, this
not
is all
quite
right.
A ring-a-ding-ding. No. But we're heading towards this.
John Deere tractors are predominantly what colour?
Bryce.
Now, where are we headed?
I thought it was Bryce.
You're all right, Bryce.
I think it was.
Green.
He's done it. That's 2-1,
right,
so yeah?
That's 2-1. We need to get our singing one away, probably.
Yep. Oh, yeah, sorry. Let's do that now. All right. Eurovision is this weekend. ABBA famously won the singing competition with their hit song Waterloo. You're going to hear the song and then you have to sing the next line. That's right. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, boys, you need to do this properly, all right? You need to give it everything you got. Brycey, you're first.
Waterloo, I'm gonna be in Waterloo. Waterloo, I'm gonna be.
He sounds like he's dancing at the same time, doesn't he? I think he's doing a bit
not
of a
not bad,
jig.
Brycey, yeah. Not bad. But Jaden, I can see you maybe narrowing the gap here. Here we go.
Waterloo. Don't you love me forevermore?
They both had their own version.
Probably not in their hitting zone, but
it's a bit of a race to the bottom, this one. Jaden, I am giving it to you. So it's 2-2.
It's 2-2. This right. is for the win.
You ready, boys?
I'm going to give a bit of help here. This was a close result, I'm going to say, in this one. How many goals did the Melbourne Mavericks win their first Super Netball game by on the weekend?
Jaden.
Yes, Jaden?
7.
Bracelet?
4.
Is it a nearest to the pin? What are we doing here?
Said it was close. 7's not close, is it? Said it was close. What do you reckon? Both of them?
Yep.
All are we going to have a draw?
No.
Maybe we go with the victory.
Oh, yeah, all right, yeah, all right. This is the next one. This is it, all right.
All right.
Melbourne Victory are facing off against who for a place in the A-League Grand Final? They're from overseas.
Yeah.
They're from overseas. Jaden.
Yes, Jaden.
New Zealand someone.
Bryce.
Manchester.
Oh, come on. Come
on. All right, we're going to have to take the nearest the pin with the Melbourne Mavericks, and that was Bryce from memory. He said 4. It was actually a 1-goal win for the Mavericks, so he was closer than Jaden. So, Bryce, you are winning.
A $200 crown voucher thanks to Fidel's Crown's newest Cuban-inspired bar and restaurants.
My wife, one of those answers reminded me of my wife. She did a test to become a journalist at the Herald Sun, yes. And one of the questions she was asked was, who won the Bledisloe Cup? Mm. And she said Manchester United. Still got the job.
I like it. Yeah.
Jaden, mate, you've got yourself a $200 Fireball pack, mate. It's worth $200. Ignite the night with Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Drink responsibly. Includes a 1.14-litre bottle of Fireball Whiskey.
There you go, Jado.
Thanks, fellas.
Can I say the Victory are playing Wellington Phoenix? It's going to be a big game.
Yes. Well done, Huey. Nicely handled.
Triple M's Rush Hour welcomes special guest host Dave Hughes.
I'm wearing pants, which is obviously I'm overdressed for this.
Wow.
You guys are so relaxed.
Follow the show on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and X at Triple M Rush Hour.
Triple M's Rush Hour, all thanks to Best Sheds. Best Sheds' biggest ever sale is on now. Don't miss a massive 30% off the entire Best Sheds range, JB. Owned, operated, and manufactured right here in Australia. Don't miss 30% off the range at bestsheds.com.au.
JB, did you get to the Titanic exhibition,
no,
which was at the Melbourne Museum? I know it wasn't on during the school holidays.
I didn't.
Did you hear about it?
There was, no, I didn't.
Well, they were artifacts from the Titanic. Right. Which they picked up off the bottom of the ocean, and so they're all there to be viewed, and you could touch some of the Titanic, which is exciting. But it's a school holiday thing, really. I mean, that's what you want to do with your kids: take them to somewhere to look at all the
stuff.
But also, yes. So I think 2,000 people died, didn't they? The Titanic. Yeah, right. So I went there with my two daughters. On the way in, you got handed a boarding pass. I didn't know much about it.
Right.
But then the boarding passes were from someone who'd been on the Titanic.
And survived?
No, not necessarily.
Right.
Just someone who'd been on it.
Yep.
So it was your ticket. You didn't know whether you were a survivor or a non-survivor.
Oh, right.
So my two daughters, 11 and 13 years old, Sadie and Tess, both theirs, they died.
Yeah, no.
So, but me, I got handed a card from a bloke, a Hong Kong bloke called Lee Bing, 35 years old, third class, So basically underneath.
The engine.
You'd think no chance.
No chance.
Lee Bing survived.
Wow.
Lee Bing.
That's amazing.
A 35-year-old bloke from Hong Kong. How did he do it?
How did he do it?
Well, I'm just assuming he said, when he heard women and children first, he said, I don't speak the language. I'm jumping on the boat.
He did a Danny Frawley.
And he said, I'm Lee Bing and I'm leaving. Yeah. So he got away with it.
Triple M's Rush Hour welcomes special guest host and Carlton tragic, Dave Hughes.
What is your favourite memory?
95, mate. You were there.
It's gone straight to 95.
For more memorable Rush Hour moments, download the Listener app to hear us wherever you are and whenever you want. Think you know AFL Guernsey numbers?
I've never seen half of these Nipsies play football in my life.
Now's your chance to prove it. 10 names, 10 numbers, 10 grand.
Changes your life, Jim. 10 grand.
Well, it opened us.
It's the Rush Hour's Guernsey Cash.
Yes, it is. And we've got Craig on the line. Where are you from, Craig?
Denali.
Where's Denali?
Central Victoria, near Bendigo.
Oh, yeah, righto. Beautiful. What do you do up there?
I'm a painter. Work for myself.
Nice. And going nicely?
Yeah, so I just come off a broken leg, so I'm just getting back into it.
How'd you break your leg?
Playing tag with the kids.
Really?
It's embarrassing, isn't it?
It was a bit, actually, using it.
Playing tag with the kids. Broke his leg. Jeez, that would have put a halt to the work on site.
Yes, it did. For about 6 weeks, I was out of action, so yeah.
And you work for yourself, so So you went, that's tough. It's tough.
It is
tough for yourself. You broke your leg playing tag.
Every show on Netflix possible to watch.
All right, you know your players and numbers?
50-50, so we'll see how we go.
Jeez, looking a bit of confidence going into these lately.
Not too bad.
All right, here are the rules.
30 seconds on the clock, Craig. We'll read out a current or former AFL player and their team. You just need to tell us which number they wore for that team. Some players have worn multiple numbers for the club. We'll accept either answer, but we must accept your first answer. You can pass. We'll come back if there is time. And if you get all 10 right, you'll win $10,000. And, of course, your time starts as soon as JB reads out the first player and club.
All right, Craig, you ready for this to start?
Yep, let's roll.
All right, here we go. Jake Lever, Melbourne.
8.
Jack McRae, Western Bulldogs.
11.
Connor Rosie, Port Adelaide.
1.
Cale Hooker, Essendon.
Pass.
Ben McAvoy, Hawthorn.
5.
Matt Maguire, St Kilda.
14.
Finn McRae, Collingwood.
23.
Bo Waters, West Coast.
8.
Matty Lappin, Carlton.
22.
All right, one shy. And how many correct?
Quite a few. Really strong start. Had 3 out of 3. And then there was a pass with Cale Hooker. 26 was his number. And then the wheels fell off.
Yes, that's right.
But you got one. You got Matty Lappin right towards the end, yeah, which was nice. Yep. So yeah, Skinny Lappin.
Yeah, that's it for the Blues.
The only other guy whose nickname was Skinny, JB Ewan. Yes. Ewan Matty Lappin.
I know. And he was Skinny. Whereas I was called Skinny because I was a fat kid.
Oh, really?
You know, in the Australian tradition.
Yeah,
called
right.
A redhead, bluey, and all the rest of it. So I was a fat little tubby kid, and that's why all my mates called me Skinny growing up. Now, it doesn't go home empty-handed, Craig.
No, he doesn't. He gets a pair of steel blue boots valued at $249.95, mate. They're going to send them your way. Look good on the worksite.
Awesome. Cheers.
Yeah. So, magnificent.
Is your leg completely recovered now?
Not officially. Another 5 weeks. They said officially 12 weeks, so it'll be another 5 weeks to go.
Did you snap the bottom half or the top half of your leg?
It was a fibula at the ankle joint.
Ooh, so no. What happened? You just twisted? Were they chasing you or what was going on?
The kids were chasing me and then I slipped on the neighbour's lawn and then my foot obviously caught in the grass and my leg kept going.
And so was there anyone around to help you or were you just screaming in agony as your kids are going, Dad, get up?
I just sort of laid there quietly and the kid's like, oh, I think he hurt himself.
That's tough. So you weren't like Gary Lyon when he broke his leg.
No, definitely not.
You were tougher than that.
I still went to the pub for a couple of frothies afterwards.
Oh, now he's adding some mayo.
Come on.
Well done, Craig. I like that. All right.
Hey, by the way, $10 from every pair of pink and purple coloured steel blue boots sold is donated to Breast Cancer Care. What a pair to support women on and off sites.
Triple M's Rush Hour welcomes comedy superstar and the very famous Dave Hughes.
Had a couple of people recognise me. I should take a photo if you like.
See Hughesy and JB for yourself by following Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram.
It's been a shocking night overnight, Hughesy.
Well, Eurovision, Australia entered the field a few years ago. Mm. I mean, it was weird that Australia got invited to Eurovision.
Eurovision.
Guy Sebastian was our first go at it.
Yeah, right. Mm. I know that Dami Im, who won the Masked Singer last year, possibly the final ever Masked Singer, Dami Im won that. So you watched the
Euro bit is about the fact that it's from people from Europe.
Yeah, so I don't know how Australia got in.
No.
It's hard to explain. But we're happy to be involved, aren't we?
Yes. Mm.
But we're not going to be involved in the final because we got our entrant this year got knocked out in the semi. They're a band called Electric Fields from South Australia.
Yeah, I think so.
Can we hear a little bit of their song? Escape with us to the planets, to the Fleetwood Macs and the Janets.
Well, isn't that winning?
Now, that sounds good to me.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's got to be a strong field if that's not getting through to the final.
Nah, Europe's obviously jealous of Australia and that all that we have, and they don't want to give us any more. No. Disappointing. We still have some. There is a representative of someone who was born in Australia, born in Sydney. She now sings for Cyprus. She made it through.
Yeah, we got some of that.
Very Eurovision.
Yeah. Her name's Celia Capsis. She was, as I said, born in Sydney, so we can barrack for her in the final.
Karosha's entry is called Baby Lasagna Rim Tim Targi Dim.
That's
really
sounds like fun.
Keep going on.
There's been a hell of a lot of crap that's come out of this thing over the journey. Yeah. Like, it's basically a piss take.
I think it is. ABBA were. Did ABBA win the original one or something? I know that ABBA did win. So there's one. They're probably the only serious band that's ever been in it, to be honest.
I think you're probably right.
Celine Dion was in it.
Was she?
Yeah. Representing France.
I did not know that. Mm. Have you seen the Will Ferrell movie that it's involved?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a bit of fun, isn't it?
It is. Oh, I love Will Ferrell, by the way.
He needs to come out with another good movie, though. It's been a while for Will.
Well, I think he's just curling the mo. He's made that much bloody money. We got some footballers that we could throw at this.
Yeah, Sellers McClure is not bad. Imagine all the people
living for today. Your man.
I love Sellers.
Blonde-haired centre-half forward from the 70s.
I heard a story about Sellers from another guy, a real story, at the Carlton Hall of Fame. So apparently this guy, and he told me, the guy himself told me the story, a good mate of Kenny Hunter's, said that back in the day he was David Parkin's sort of junior, and David said, the players are running Princes Park. You make sure you keep an eye on them because we think that Sellers is cheating. Oh, all right? So,
cheating.
And like cutting across Princes Park right. for the time trial.
Yeah.
And Sellers was cheating. And this guy called Sellers out. Yeah. All right. So, and then they were on a trip at the Gold Coast, apparently, and Sellers and one other player, I can't remember who it was, got this guy, mafia style.
Mario Bortolotto.
It might have been Bortolotto. Yeah.
Every time we got to throw him in, old Tats Lotto. Yep.
Grabbed one leg each and hung him over the balcony.
Oh, no.
They hung him over the balcony.
Didn't do
they
that.
They hung him over the
not
balcony.
Capable of that
they said, oh. If you ever do that again, oh. we're going to drop
oh,
you.
No.
True story.
Can't be doing that.
Sellers.
Sellers, come on. Well, the Duke, I think he had a crack.
Yeah, the Duke had a crack. Where's the Duke? Hang on 2 seconds.
Well, I can't believe this, by the way.
I think he fancies himself as a singer.
All I needed was a call, lost and insecure.
Oh my God.
You found me lying on the floor.
I don't even know what that song is.
That's The Fray.
Is it?
I think Bing Malloy stitched it up and said he would auto-tune it and
right,
didn't.
And never did.
Never did.
Nath Brown?
Well, Nath Brown, this is from The Footy Show.
All right, so...
Oh, that's more painful than his broken leg.
Do we need to hear any more or we need to finish on a
What
high?
About Billy? Come on.
Yeah, we'll finish with our man at Bay City Plaza.
Working hard to make a living, bringing shelter from the rain. Oh, he's a working class man.
That's not bad.
There's nothing he won't do for money. Nothing.
Now we know it. He's on American Idol. That's where he is,
he
isn't it? That's where he is right now.
Billy Brownless has gone AWOL.
I nearly had enough.
Oh, no.
So don't worry, we have too.
So we've brought in a comedy icon to replace him.
It's great to be with you two legends.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB, Billy and Dave Hughes.
What a treat this is. We are joined by the AFL's Executive General Manager, Laura Kane.
As the General Manager of Footy at the AFL, our next guest is in charge of the future of the game. But we're not sure this idea will get approval from at least 17 presidents.
Well, I just think that Carlton should automatically just play finals, yeah? So they've got to. I mean, it's been great for the competition, the Carlton's resurgence, and we don't deserve to be eighth.
Please welcome Laura Kane.
Well, how do you see that, Laura, straight off the top? Just an automatic finals berth for the Blues.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about it.
But come on, Laura. Since you've taken over, the Blues have come good, really. And are we getting record attendances for the league every single round now?
Pretty much. Three rounds of 400,000 or more people. We've only ever had it happen once ever before this year, and we've had three rounds already with that number.
It's crazy because people talk about cost of living and everyone is, you know, the belts are being tightened, but everyone's going to the footy, aren't they?
They're finding room for it. No, I mean, it's not lost on us.
Yeah.
We try and keep pies cheap and water cheap and tickets the same price.
You know what, my brother is the tightest man in Australia. It makes me wee outside when I go to his house because I don't want to waste the water. We went to the Marvel Stadium on Sunday night and he was raving about how cheap the hot dogs were. Yeah. He was shocked.
You should go to Amazon, just walk out. Have you been there at Marvel?
No.
Scan your credit card, take whatever you want, and AI will charge you whatever you walk out with.
That's serious.
We even tested it, tried to put things in our pockets. They got us.
That's like when you buy stuff at Uniqlo.
You dump it all in the bin
and then it just goes.
Yeah,
it's
great.
Walk out. You don't even have to scan anything. It just does it all for
Level
you.
Level one, have a go next time you're at Marvel.
I like that. Well, you must be pumped. And the television viewing numbers are ridiculous. So the game in that sense is in really good shape.
It is. People are so excited about footy. They're excited across the country, but the quality is terrific.
Yeah.
We're seeing such good games of football, such good ball movement. And, you know, so competitive to look at the ladder today and see the two teams that made it 2 years ago back up there, the two teams that made it last year, not even in the eight. It's so exciting.
It is. And it's, I mean, it is. Carlton at 5-3 to be eighth is disappointing. You'd think that 5-3 would get you better than eighth, wouldn't you? But anyway, let's not worry about
it. It's early. There's lots of footy still to be played.
Can we go back to your origins of you? You started at North Melbourne in footy. This man, JB, was your president for a year.
What
sort of was he like Kim Jong-un, or what sort of president was he?
He wore shorts.
He wore shorts. Yeah,
pretty casual.
I used to wear shorts a lot.
But he cared.
I used to go and get my gym session in before the meetings. So then I'd walk in with shorts.
On the Alter G.
Was there any board meeting ever saying that the president shouldn't wear shorts?
I'm not just saying that because I'm here. He was terrific. He cares about that football club more than most. And I loved the first year at North. I loved every year at North, actually, but it was great to work with JB.
No, you're a star, and it was a sad day for me when I heard you were leaving, even though I knew it was inevitable, given your skill set, you were going to grow and go into this amazing. But even this role, you must pinch yourself a bit because you're now the head of footy for the whole competition.
Yeah, it is. It's certainly not what I planned. Sometimes when I'm in the supermarket and someone says, can you sort out the umpiring, I look past me to see who they're talking to and then realise it's me. But it's a privilege, and it sounds cliche, but it is. I grew up playing footy. I played Auskick. I played junior footy. My whole family love it. I love it. And now I get to talk about footy and watch footy every single day for a living. So I am very grateful for that.
And you are very impressive. And when you do step in, some of the tribunal situations you've stepped into, I've been on your side. So, but it's also brave for you to step into some of those areas. Yeah, it's like can I talk about Maynard last year where said, let's take this to the tribunal or to where you took it to. So, you don't hold back, do you? If you see something you think's wrong, you'll go for it.
Absolutely. And I think you have to be that way inclined to have a job like this. You have to be that way inclined to work in our industry. People care, and when people care, they have an opinion. But I need to be here for the decisions that I make, and that was one that I was strong on, so I made it.
Yeah.
Tell me about mixing with alpha males, because when you walked into North, Brad Scott was the senior coach and very, very strong. We both love him, but very, very strong, you know, individual, and can be intimidating, as all the senior coaches can be. How do you go with that?
I mean, I talk to senior coaches every day. I quite enjoy it. I enjoy their intelligence and their passion for the game. And I think that was probably seen in return in terms of what I knew about footy. So I was able to connect with Brad, for instance, on a football level. I think what's wonderful about men's footy and now women's footy is the friendships and the mateship and the relationships that are sometimes really long-standing that make football clubs some of the greatest places on earth. And now to have that across men's and women's football, to see men and women in men's and women's football departments and everything in between, it's amazing.
And as a pioneer of the women's game, a player yourself and then a very young president of the club, the Uni Women's Footy Club, you must be blown away by the state of women's football, how quickly it's got this good.
Absolutely. It's one of the best things that's ever happened to our game. I played junior boys footy and I had a couple of years where there were no competitions for girls and that's only in my lifetime. So to now see 18 teams in the national comp playing, you know, about 100 games of football for a season year in, year out and having, you know, 5,000-10,000 people pack out these small heartland venues. Yep. Is remarkable. I just love it.
It's only going to get stronger because I've got daughters who, I mean, they don't play. They play basketball. No, none of my children play AFL. It's not.
We'll talk about that later.
I know that, but all their girlfriends play. So they, is the participation amongst girls almost up to what boys are? Is it? That wouldn't be that far off, would it?
It's certainly boomed, and I think you would be hard pressed to find a football club now that doesn't have boys and girls Auskick, boys and girls junior teams. Both mums, dads, coaching, you know, and then senior teams are exactly the same and committees are reflecting the community now and it's happening everywhere. So participation's booming.
In 10, 15 years, one of these kids are now 18, 20. It's going to, the women's leagues are going to be so much better, aren't they? Well, they're already good, but
growing up with the game. Absolutely. I'll stick around. Laura Kane is our special guest. I've got some things I'm going to run by you. Nothing hard, but just some, I'm going to pick your thoughts on a few
more
things.
More with Laura Kane next on the Rush Hour, Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour welcomes special guest host Dave Hughes.
I'm wearing pants, which is, obviously I'm overdressed for this.
Wow.
You guys are so relaxed.
Follow the show on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok and X at Triple M Rush Hour.
AFL Executive General Manager Laura Kane is stuck around, JB.
All right, just some stuff to run by the boss of footy. Online abuse. I know the Eagles are now dealing, you know, with some specific cases over there and we've seen some of the Indigenous players have to deal with it, but it's not as simple as saying to AFL players, you've got to get off social media because they won't. So how do you police that as a code?
No, and I think that's a really important point. We know young people live and connect with their family and friends through social media. The difficult side when you're in a public high-performance industry is the feedback. And it's not about getting used to it. It's about trying to work out how we stop people feeling compelled to give their thoughts, and sometimes quite brutally. So we're working with the eSafety Commissioner. We're working with the government broadly around how can we bring attention to this? How can we educate people? And how can we help our players not have to deal with this at all?
Yep.
For some people, it seems to be a full-time job just abusing people online. And people in like me or JB in the public space, you know, they must spend so much time on the computer or their phones.
Yeah, but the difference with us, Huey, is we've been around a long time. These are kids.
Yeah.
These are 20-year-old kids. And so it's an issue. What about concussion? We've just seen Libba now. A number of concussions have seen him out of the game. How close are we to knowing more about how many is too many?
I mean, player health and safety is our priority. It always has been. We've changed more than 30 rules at the same time the game has gotten better. So I'll often get feedback around the fabric of the game or the quality of the game. But I think the football's the best it's ever been right now. And we've made all of those changes, including a number of changes over the summer. We are deep into research, and that is where it all starts, medical research. Our brain health initiative is an extraordinary project, but we need time. We need time to make sure that we're gathering all the right information and we're doing and changing things as we learn more. And that's what we're doing, and we've been committed to doing for the many years.
Why is there unease with the coaches around the sub rule? What's their issue with it?
I think they like flexibility. I think they like being able to play two talls and have them both on the bench and not impact their ruck rotation, to be honest. To have a tall at each end of the ground and a ruck and have the luxury of that flexibility, I think would be appealing to me if I was a senior coach. We've had that discussion for a couple of years now. We made the change last year to remove the medical sub or the medi sub element and make it a tactical sub.
Yeah.
So I think the question now is, go back to four, go to five, or keep the sub as is.
On the subject of coaches, you said you speak to them every day. Is there a couple of coaches in particular who ring you a lot, or do they all ring you? We don't have to name names.
There's a few that have saved me in their favourites.
All right. So do you ever see their name and just let it ring out? Or?
No, not often. I always answer. Depends what's happened. Depends if I'm ready to talk to them.
A mid-season trade period, do you see that coming?
I'm not sure. I mean, we've got appetite for it. I like the concept. I think
player for player, I like.
I don't want
picks being traded mid-year because that can be knee-jerk. But if you've got a player on a list that you go, well, I want Laura Kane and Dave Hughes works for us, then would that work?
I mean, maybe, but I also think we have a unique situation of having 10 teams in one state and two in, four others. That's hard. That's an inequity that we would have to guard against. It's much easier to drive from Icon Park to
Arden Street.
Yep. Historically, not often, but let's just say a free agent wanted to. Yep. But that's much easier. You don't have to move house. You don't have to move schools for children. Partners don't have to change jobs. It's very difficult to move from Victoria to Queensland in the middle of a season. So that part, if we can guard against that, maybe, but we're working on it.
All right, final one for me, in game. And I'm going to talk to Brad Scott about this tonight on Talking Footy. We saw in the prelim final last year that Jordan Dugowie, in the dying stages of that game, was off the ground for nearly 9 minutes. And basically the whole game was being played on the Shane Warne stand side, and he couldn't get back on the ground. And I look at that and I go, that can't happen. Like, we've got to be able to get our best players when the game's on the line to be on the ground.
You're going time out.
Well, then I thought, how do we fix it? And then I thought, much smarter people than me need to work this out. So, Laura Kane, is it possible?
I've actually watched this before years ago in terms of how different teams rotate. And if you have a look at some of the clubs, I don't know if they still do it. I haven't watched it closely, I must admit. Some just go anyway.
Yep.
So some will go either end of the ground, push a wing in, and work it all out once they're there. But even on the far side of the ground, they'll still press the rotation button regardless of positioning. So I think it's a decision you make. Happy to be one down for 20 seconds based on where the ball is, some teams still do it. Not many, but some.
Can I ask about the grand final? Obviously, the Twilight games on Saturdays are working their asses off. Is that fair to say? Yep. They're really the ratings for Twilight, that 4 o'clock start on a Saturday, and the crowd
Sunday
numbers
as well. Yep.
And that's huge. How close to Twilight grand final are we?
You get asked this question all the time.
I know, but it feels like it's getting closer.
Dill says he likes day grand finals, so I might not go against the grain and say whatever Andrew Dillon thinks.
Right. There's still
back
somebody
in.
I have been, Laura, to a Super Bowl. I don't know if you have, and they are always twilight. And so the halftime entertainment's right as the sun sets.
Yeah.
And it is awesome. Like, it is phenomenal. So I was always day grand final too until I did that, and then I thought, you know what? This is actually nuts. Really, really cool. You're doing a great job. It's always great to see you. And
calm.
I know. She's a star. That's why. Anytime you want to drop in and chat to us on the Rush Hour, Laura Kane, you are very welcome.
Thank you, guys.
Triple M's Rush Hour welcomes special guest host and Carlton tragic, Dave Hughes.
What is your favourite memory?
95, mate. You were there.
It's gone straight to 95.
For more memorable Rush Hour moments, download the Listener app to hear us wherever you are and whenever you want.
Now, what we're doing is, well, I like to say the best of Fat, but either the best of is an idiot song,
yep,
or an idiot file,
yep,
or Todd from Bow and Ed's climbing into it. They're the best of bits. And today it's Todd, and we go back to 2021 when Geelong was announced as part of where the Commonwealth Games was going to happen. Because that went well. That was a good result.
There's probably people who are already still building shops that were meant to be, you know,
the one part of the proper celebration. Pools and all the rest of it. Anyway, it was announced that Geelong was going to be a part of it, and Todd couldn't help but ring in.
So obviously their pitch is all based around COVID-19 and being regional in those parts, a bit more or a bit less density of population.
I love it, especially down here at Geelong. It'd be magnificent. The weather, you got the beaches, you got everything. It'd be fantastic.
Well, hey, we've actually got a call coming through, which is unusual for training. Ben from Bendigo. How you going, Ben?
Yeah, g'day, guys. Just wanted to call and say what a great job you're doing this week. Well done, Daisy, particularly from you. Doing a great job.
Nah, thanks, Benny. Well, what are your thoughts, mate? If
From Bendigo.
From Bendigo, they get a mention there. What sports would you like to see hosted up there?
It's really exciting between Ballarat and Bendigo, but I wouldn't go to Geelong because it's Todd from Bowen Head still, you idiot. And I'll tell you what, if I was a Canadian long jumper and I found out that I had to compete in bloody Geelong, I reckon I'd just take a rain check for 4 years. All the gold medals in the world wouldn't make it worth it. You know what? There's a big danger. They could start the marathon from Pakenham Street down there. None of them would turn around and come back to the finish line. They just keep on running to Avalon. Bill, picture the opening ceremony. They just light the cauldron, get some locals from Corio to torch a Ford Falcon in the middle of Cardinia. That would work.
Todd,
and by the way, while I've got you, mate, I haven't spoken to you since the grand final. Didn't your boys come home with a wet start that night? What a performance. Did you give Dangerfield a pep talk at halftime? He came out looking like you in the third and in a grand final, mate. What a performance.
Cut him off, Rebs. Cut him off. That dickhead's not allowed.
He's hung up. He's dropped the mic.
He's dropped the mic. Rebs, don't put him on. You knew he was coming on.
It's Ben from Bendigo.
He's Ben from Bendigo.
He's run through to talk up his town. And he's done the opposite. He's talked down too long and torched it.
Who knows a bigger flog, him or Brayshaw?
Oh, he is capable of getting ahead of himself, Todd. The mic drop at the end.
Yeah. But I love Billy's comeback. Shut up, dickhead.
Yeah. He had him right where he wanted him.
Wallety zinger.
Turning the Ford Falcon is very funny.
That's funny. It's funny.
I think he predicted what was going to go on with the Commonwealth Games. Just
another hole in the budget. All right, now, Huey, have you got a joke for us?
I'm working on it. How long have I got?
About 5 minutes.
All right. Five minutes. I'll have it ready.
Triple M's Rush Hour welcomes comedy superstar and the very famous Dave Hughes.
Had a couple of people recognise me. Oh. I should take a photo if you like.
See Hughesy and JB for yourself by following Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram. Billy Brownless has gone AWOL.
I nearly had enough.
Oh, no. And don't worry, we have too.
So we've brought in a comedy icon to replace him.
It's great to be with you two legends.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB, Billy and Dave Hughes.
The show is about to finish with your joke, Uzi, but you're both on TV tonight.
Yeah, I think I'm going first, Go. JB, on The Weekly with Charlie Pickering, my old mate from the project I used to work with. I'm the expert on mindfulness tonight. I've got one survey that I think we all need to hear. Apparently, there's been a big survey done, and this is no joke, but the happiest people in the world are the people who think about themselves the least.
Ooh.
The less time you think you spend thinking about yourself, the happier you are.
Right? Well, I know. That's the secret.
That's the secret.
I like it.
How happy are you?
He's not happy enough.
But that's, and I don't think about myself. All I think about is all the crap that's going on. The other thing is talking footy, of course. Brad Scott is going to be our special guest tonight.
Hey, he'll be in a good mood. The Bombers are flying.
Are going beautifully, so make sure you check that out after the front bar.
Yeah, that's excellent on 7.
All right, here we go.
End the day with a laugh. This is Hughesy's Joe.
Tomorrow, by the way, Mitch Duncan joins us.
He's in almost 300 games for the Cats, isn't he?
I don't know. He's a bloody star. Who else have we got tomorrow?
Alexa Towersey. She is Naked and Afraid.
Oh, nice.
Absolute superstar.
All right.
When you say that, that's a TV show.
It's a TV show.
She's not going to be on the show
Naked and Afraid. And I think that's the TV show Bill's doing.
No, he could be.
I don't know.
He's done that once before.
In Munich.
I've got a real, when you say that, I've just got a you know, Family Guy. Ever watch Family Guy? Peter Griffin. And Bill and Peter Griffin. Similar. Can imagine them. Anyway.
Right. So, that's tomorrow.
All right. All right. Here we go. I hope Bill hasn't done this one. Here we go. My boss arrived at work in a brand new Lamborghini. I said, wow, that's an amazing car. He replied, if you work hard, put all your hours in and strive for excellence, I'll get another one next year. Rich get richer, don't they?
Not just the telling tone. It's just the craft. I like it. There's craft now.
It's professionalism.
Well, Bill tells them, and you just don't, they're like a boring story because he doesn't. There's no inflection. Come on,
fellas.
Yes.
He's dominating the world.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB, Billy, and special guest host Dave Hughes. Thanks to Best Shed's biggest ever sale on now. Triple M.